Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, Dumpty Dummers. I'm Quentin Rayner. By day, I'm a BBC reporter and news presenter, but by 7:02 of an evening, I've morphed into an Archers superfan. I remember Kirsty's Jilted Whale, so I guess my addiction started circa 1999. Later on, I went cold turkey for an entire year. I just couldn't take it anymore. But then we were dealt Rob and Helen, and I've been hooked again ever since.
I'm a mess, Helen.
And is this what you really think, or is it just words?
Now, as far as I'm concerned, Brian is just the best. Controversial, I know. And my favourite storyline ever was his dangerous liaison with seductress Siobhan and all the subsequent fallout. Great drama, writing and acting.
I do love you, you know.
I love you too.
It's not just the sex.
I know that.
Radio Gold. My addiction plummeted to new depths when I stumbled upon the Archers tweet-along and I realised I wasn't alone. It's full of really knowledgeable listeners who are often very funny, and it's where I first clapped eyes on the wonderfully waspish wit of Warbis, and we've since become good mates. The Dumpty Dum Zoom hookups were a great tonic during the gin-soaked lockdown, and we're all extremely grateful to you, Royfield, for putting them on with such good guests. However, I foolishly asked too many irreverent questions during the Zooms, which subsequently caught the eyes and ears of Royfield, who's now asked me to hook up with himself and fellow Zoomcaster Rosie McGlynn to try out a brand new Dumpty Dum spin-off right off the back of Sunday's Omnibus. Now, if the pilot takes off, the idea is to tap into the tweet-along and carry on discussing what's got you feverishly tapping your keyboard that morning. So here's a shout-out to the likes of Miranda, John Porter, Gay Grey Bell, Furness Girl, Adam Hicksford, Bernadette Hawkes, Chris Worthing, Rebel, The Archer's Liker, Sweary Caps Lockie, and any tweet-alonger or non-tweeting fan to follow the links Royfield will be putting out and to join us. Rosie's Twitter handle is at Porty Rosie. Mine is at Quentin Rayner. Hope to see you filling a Zoom thumbnail on Sunday.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by Managers.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that has centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the artisan burger that is Royfield Brown, and with me at the delayed wine delivery that is
Kerry Warbis,
and the fragile top fruit cherry crop that is
Peter Fickling.
And the last part of this week's lockdown menu, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum is from the Archers cast in lockdown. You won't be hearing from them again, well, not in doing their Dumpty Dum, which we have copyright for, of course, because we only play these things twice. So, Kerry, we need someone else to come and fill that void, don't we, to send us in a fresh dum-de-dum. Now, if someone's minded to do that, how can that be done?
If you would like to sing us a dum-de-dum or leave us a plot prediction, then call us on 0203 031 3105. Leave us a message on SpeakPipe or send a text message starting with dumb to 0778 620 Thanks to Yokel Bear and Millie Bell, our social media supremos, Cosmo for his podcast roundups, Mike Hatton for his character counts, Shambridge for her voices, and to Lucy B. Freeman.
Now, folks, we need volunteers. Volunteers are wanted. We are looking for Archers enthusiasts, which we presume you are if you're listening to this, and to Dum-de-dum listeners. We also presume you're one of those too, who would like to be part of our podcast team.
Duties include managing the Facebook group, posting up prompts for Facebook followers after Archers episodes, recording a roundup of the prompt responses, and sending to the podcast host, who is Royfield, and the gang. We're looking for people who are able to commit to at least a year, who are organised, can work to a timeline, and who have joy in their souls as lovers of the docudrama.
Now, this is actually Millie Bell's bit of prose here. And don't worry, that what we're looking for isn't just one person. It's actually a gang of people. So this committing to a year, it's not by any stretch of the imagination we'd be doing this every week. We're looking for about four or so people, so you could just alternate between yourselves and stuff. But we are trying to slightly change things up here at Dum-de-dum Towers. So Yokel Bear and Millie Bell would be happy to answer any of your questions if you go onto the Facebook group. And you can either do this publicly or via the message, you can DM them. It's kind of cool. So if you're interested, message the Dum-de-dum Facebook page. Now, on this week's episode, and by the way, can I just say, Kerry, I need to thank you for bringing joy into my life.
Who's joy? Do you mean Horville?
Well, no, not Joy Horville, but just Quentin Rayner. I just like...
I'm lending him to you.
You are, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Kerry, for bringing an incredibly professional-sounding person with a smooth voice who I had to listen to for about 2 minutes before starting. It's like having a boot on my neck. my squeaky little voice, how much better by that?
We're in the unprofessional gang, love, don't worry.
Okay, well, yeah.
Well... You can, you know, when he says he's like BBC, like trained and stuff, you can tell he's very good, isn't he? Very good.
Like, yeah, with that background music, blimey.
Mm. Well, he did bring a certain frisson to the music. He was just his very calm, smooth delivery.
Yeah, I'm angry and aroused. It's a very uncomfortable.
I must admit, I'm looking forward to working with him. That's all I'm going to say. On this week's episode, we hear views from Jack, Sam, Sarah, Claire, Elsa, Jane Gage, Andrew Horn, he's back, Rob Williams, Stephen Witherspoon, and Philippa. But before all that, we need to tackle the burning issue of the week. And this week it's, which Aldridge is the most awful? There's obviously a whole load of Aldry's action this week on The Archers. And it seems to me like Alice really let the side down. But am I wrong in saying that Alice is the most awful Aldridge? What do you reckon, Kerry?
Very wrong indeed, yes. If Adam is classed as an Aldridge, it's him, without a doubt. But that's, I don't know. To be, with my history of Adam love, that's going to be an obvious answer, isn't it, really? And did Alice let the side down? She drank a lot and jacked her job in. Whereas Adam was really sort of weird about childcare. So being weird about childcare as a father wins it for me.
Peter, you're in the maelstrom of childcare at the moment.
Yes.
So I feel you might have strong opinions on the whole Adam and childcare and fatherhood debate.
Yeah, I think that's going to become a recurring theme in this episode. So I don't want to sort of go too deep on that now. I mean, to take the original question, who's the worst Aldridge? Am I limited to the people on the episode? If not, Rory gets my back up. I don't know why. Maybe he's just too privileged and gets away with too much. Maybe Nolitando irritated me for a while. Does she count? I don't know. But this week, no, Adam, it's got to be Adam. I thought this could be the shortest feature ever, 20 seconds. Kerry says Adam, I say Adam, you pause and then say Adam.
Well, I don't know. Well, yes, it's Adam. It is Adam. But I do feel that, you know, fundamentally, Alice, you know, she's not winning any friends or fans with a monologuing, is she?
First of all, I thought the actress did a cracking job. It's very difficult to act drunk. She did, you know, she leant into it quite gently. She didn't kind of go over the top with slurring her words or anything like that. So regardless of what you think about the plot or about the kind of the backwards and forwards with Chris or the fact that she jacked a job in, the actress did a cracking job. If you view us as voyeurs, very terrible in English there, but if you view us as voyeurs, then what business is it of ours whether she jacked her job in, no matter how stupidly? And the kind of the crazy one-sidedness of their marriage, which seems to be another recurring theme. We had Pat and Tony before. But yeah, I think she doesn't know anyone anything. A few drinks, quits her job. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Brian's love letter to Jennifer did have a slight detour via Siobhan, didn't it?
That was horrible.
It was a bit, yeah. And also, you know, who are we to say why Alice is making such a silly decision? But, you know, this is the COVID pandemic. It's not the best time to jack a job in, really, is it? Or did she jump before she was pushed? I don't know. Do you think she was actually sacked?
If I listened to it three times this week, that's the levels of semi-professionalism or, that I brought to the Dumpty Dum. And on the third listen, it's definitely she jumped because she was pushed. But I don't think they were going to sack her. I think they were just giving her a shot across the bows. But I have some intel on the whole job market thing. My wife does important, impressive and vaguely adult work like you, Kerry. And there's actually been a lot of people, getting jobs or sort of, moving on in the world. And I've been surprised about that. I think Alice, you know, presuming they don't want to sort of like throw her down some kind of massive boozy death spiral, she might, if it was true to life, just land back on her feet.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the weird things was how Chris is really oblivious to her situation vis-a-vis wine consumption and if she's happy or not.
I don't want to turn this into a kind of AA session, but I'm pretty good at hiding being drunk, or at least that's what I've been told. It's not just my self-delusion, I don't think. So when Alice was slugging the wine in the middle of the afternoon, I mean, Debbie was more kind of noticing the amount she was drinking. She wasn't making some kind of qualitative judgment. I mean, does Chris come home every day and she's sort of there, sort of hiding the bottles in the attic or something? Or I bet she styles it out. She's a salesperson. She's out on the road. She kind of alluded to herself when she was saying, I'm a social person, which I felt was a euphemism for just being out there partying with the clients. Mm-hmm. We might be at that stage at the moment where she's slightly in denial and she's just one of those people who can knock it back and keep on trucking.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, they've been together 10 years, haven't they? Or married 10 years, I think that was referenced. And it was just a little bit sad that he doesn't know that she's probably depressed. Yeah.
But he's blinded by the supernova that is his intense creativity. I mean, he's... to come up with a tree to celebrate a child's birth. I mean, it's almost miraculous. It's almost as miraculous as the birth of the child. I mean, what? And he was quite right to be furious that the client didn't immediately kind of,
rejected his oak.
Yeah, with a soz.
Yeah. I did actually laugh at that. Soz?
Yeah, I laughed two out of the three times I listened.
Yeah, so we've come to the conclusion it's Adam then. Have we?
It sounds to me that it's Chris. Chris Carter, who's married into the Aldridges. Like, you've said Adam, and then the pair of you have just basically just said that Chris is just awful and oblivious to the fact that his wife is a lush.
Why do we want to revisit, you know, we're not crime scene investigators. Why do we want to go into the gore-filled sort of a murder scene that is, you know, Adam's life or Adam's kind of, you know, family life? It's just, yeah, no, thank you very much. I mean, much better to have a little dance around Chris. And anyway, this is supposed to be lighthearted entertainment, isn't it? Not us kind of bursting into. It's not supposed to be a support group where we kind of try and talk ourselves
also,
through the.
I've just remembered Adam had a phone call with someone who'd had coronavirus or might have it again and didn't sort of say anything empathetic to him.
Oh, is this more evidence that Adam's a monster?
Yes, it is. I rest my case. Goodbye.
This is how ruined The Archers is for me now. I've got Roy Field's voice in one part of my head. I've got your voice in another part of the head. Sort of ongoing performance anxiety about the kind of technical issues I have trying to get this thing to work, all while I'm listening to it. So, yeah, but I definitely had your kind of thoughts going around when
Peter,
I was listening to
that. I can't be blamed for your performance anxiety. Stop it.
Previous comments about language and suitability of comments that are broadcastable have prevent me from commenting about Royfield.
I'm staying out of this one.
So have we dealt with this section of the show, everybody?
I think we have, yes.
Smashing.
Yes.
So the answer is Chris Carter.
No. Naughty.
Right then. I'm moving on. I'm pressing a button.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
First off, it's our Jack.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers, it's Jack here. I feel that Brian and Xander worked really well together and hopefully they'll work together in the future. I like to see Brian's harsh side, but I also like to see his softer side. Royfield, I really liked your impression of Adam, so we'll have more impressions and you'll have to decide what to say. Now, I want to talk a little bit about dialogue. Dead Ringers managed to create dialogue, and their programme lasts for 27 minutes. Your podcast, Dumpty Dum, has all three of you talking at the same time, and that sounds very clear and succinct, and you can all hear each other. I also think that it could make it easier in future for scriptwriters and directors if everybody happened to be working remotely, as people can work from their locations, and the writers and directors won't have to worry about having the actors in the same room or availability together, providing, of course, it sounds acoustically correct. Now, this brings me onto my fourth point, in that I feel, maybe controversially, that The Archers' strong point is not necessarily its writing, but the fact that it can sound incredibly real. And for many split seconds, you really feel like you're listening to an actual farm instead of a group of people in a recording studio. And that is really what draws me to The Archers. I'll speak to you soon. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for that, Jack. I'm now racking my brains for Royfield's impersonation of Adam, which has completely been eradicated from my memory.
It's eradicated from mine, too. I think all I said was... Oh, I'm tired.
Okay.
You're easily pleased, Jack. Very easily pleased.
Yeah, Brian and Xander. It was funny that was pretty much the first actual bit of dialogue that there's been in these monologues was Brian talking to a baby.
And
the baby cooing and gurgling back quite wildly. Yeah, so he's still got dialogue angst as our Jack, hasn't he? He wishes that they could do that. We can't go over that again, I don't think. And says that the Archers used to sound quite real, as if you're in real locations.
I do think it's one of the things which they are stupendously good at is the whole special effects. And whenever anybody goes to the mailbox and goes on the Archers tour, the thing that they're always blown away by is the various special effects and the fact that the bull is just a box. You know, in effect, with a whole load of little buttons and whatever on it to create the various bits of pub atmos and stuff. So they are an incredibly talented bunch, the production team, the special effects team, in creating atmosphere and making you feel like you are in the middle of the English countryside. Jack, thank you for that call. Now I'm going to press a button, and I think Sam is next.
Hi, this is Sarah Spilsbury from Birmingham. I've been listening to The Archers for about 10 years, to Dumpty Dum for about 18 months, and this is my first time calling and ring. I'm getting on okay with the new format for the most part, but feel there's a gender disparity between them, and that most of the male characters have been a bit boring because they're all mainly business, or maybe they're just boring characters anyway. But the female characters, I feel, have been more interesting, and we've been looking at their vulnerabilities, Helen's worries about going on the radio, and we learnt more about Natasha in her 10-minute little slot than we have since she was brought into the show. And Kate Menopause could be a great foray into public service broadcasting, as it's a hugely under-examined topic. It was great to hear from Debbie last week too. I've really enjoyed the Friday night Zoom meetings, especially Tim's, as he gave a really good explanation as to why the show couldn't carry on in its previous format, which should be required listening for anybody who's whining about it on social media, because I'm finding that's getting tired. And Tim's certainly more charismatic than David, but this week, Adam... Oh, please. It was painful. And with Royfield, that he doesn't stand up as a character. I mean, I'm sure some people might like him, but I reckon they could still hold their own fan meeting in a phone box and socially distance at that. So, women characters more interesting than male ones. Discuss. Keep up the good work. Ta-ra a bit.
Oh, it's lovely to hear you, Sarah, because I've seen you many, many times on the Zooms. So, yeah, thanks for calling in. And women are more interesting, yes.
Is that a general comment or specific to the article?
No, I would never be that sexist, no.
I mean, maybe we've earned it. Maybe men have earned it just to be sort of, you know, for at least a millennia or two, to be just, if we can take, you know, just be boring.
Okay, just before you pair, just like natural way, can I just say it was lovely to hear a full throated, rounded Brummy accent on the podcast other than mine. And can I just say that these pair have been having a right go before I actually hit the record button with their card Brummy accents, you know, taking the mickey out of me, something terrible. So you know what, you know, hardly felt affectionate. I felt bullied and ridiculed, Peter. Right. Bullied and ridiculed. So thank you for that, love. And Tarara Bit was a wonderful way to sign off. Over to you, Pear.
I mean, the whole women being interesting versus men being boring thing, I mean, they, to be fair, Brian was a voice for that. He was talking, you know, he was waxing lyrical about how wonderful Jenny was. Debbie also... couldn't stop talking about, what was it? She an infinite capacity for love was something love. That Jennifer had, which got me, that kind of blew my mind, what that would actually mean. I can't think of anyone more irritating than someone who had an infinite capacity for love.
Yeah, you know? And it was Debbie who said that.
Yeah, Debbie said that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just trying to, you know, you're just trying to have a moan at the end of the day and your partner's got an infinite capacity for love and just wants to talk about, you know, have you turned that frown upside down? And it, you know, life will all turn out good in the end.
Is that supposed to underline the fact that Brian basically said, you know, not only do I love Jenny, but also I love Siobhan. He's loved two women.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of sort of going, "Whoa, Siobhan," but then sort of went, "Oh, I was very lucky there. If, you know, if I'd actually gone down that different path, I wouldn't have all the things I have now around me." So he was kind of lusting, but realised that it was the wrong thing to do.
He regrets the damage, but doesn't regret having Siobhan in his life.
Yeah, yeah. And he was also pushing Zandra about, sort of going, "Oh, you know, I missed a trick here that having a baby in a pram can be a sort of babe magnet, really, wasn't it?"
Oh, I mean, it's a good job. It's a good job he did ignore all his previous children. The damage he could have done to the village with that little, you know.
Yeah. I did have a bit of a worry about the buggy because the wheels sounded very cheap.
I mean, last week I was all over the Foley artists. I was doing very well with my noticing the bird noises. But this week I didn't really. I think I was too distracted by the baby. Who was it who said it was like a squeaky toy?
Me.
Yeah, I think they should have.
They don't do that, do they? They don't go, "Ooh, gurgle, gurgle," ooh, and laugh on cue and stuff.
It's well, not as much as you'd want. They'd already contextualised it by saying, you know, he'd already said he was out walking the baby. You didn't need it. It was like Chris's running noises as well. They were just distracting. I mean, we've all got enough of a memory and an imagination to be able to sort of like fill those bits.
Imagine
and
someone running. Yeah, yeah. And Debbie's funny sounding shoes.
Oh, and her. I mean, if they were going to do some sort of Foley work and background work, her being kicked out the shop by an irate racist Hungarian, they could have done more with that.
Yes.
But I was quite interested about that. I mean, last week, I think Royfield kind of corrected me for being sort of naive when I sort of was talking about kind of uses, talking about politics within the Archers. But obviously, they can use Hungary as a kind of proxy for the kind of Brexit situation. Don't worry, I'm not going to take sides. And it was interesting, Debbie's kind of comments about how obviously Hungary is a very troubled country at the moment with Viktor Orban, but how, you know, how she was being dealt with as a foreigner over there. And I'm curious if that's something they're going to develop, because I do think it's fair play to, whilst not sort of take a side on the Brexit debate, at least hold a mirror up to some of the problems it's going to cause us over the next few months.
I think it's all wrapped up in her realising that actually she's quite a distance away from home, because she was having that panic, wasn't she? Obviously, Roger is ill, for one thing. But then she went down that sort of like, well, what if something happened to, you know, Brian and Jennifer, and, you know, had a bit of a panicky moment and then went, oh, this isn't me. I cope with everything. But said, I wish I could just fly home. And then someone was abusive to her in the shop. So I think it was all part of like, am I in the right place?
Amplify that dislocation and sort of sense of loneliness. Do you think that Rogers, someone called in and said they hope that, last week said they hope that no more characters are going to be killed off. Do you think Rogers an easy COVID victim? And then it can help, and it'll help kind of, that can frame Adam's burgeoning fatherhood. He loses Roger. He regrets not going back to see him. You know, Debbie's reintegrated. Do you think Roger's on the way out?
Possibly, yes. It's pointing in that way, isn't it? It'll be interesting to hear Adam's reaction to that. Will he care or even say anything about caring if that does happen?
Well, he's got to kind of run his gladiators sort of gladiator course of different sort of parenting techniques that Ian's left for him, you know, through the sensory tunnel, over the over the stacking block pile, you know, jelly juggling for another 15 minutes. That's all.
He'll probably be annoyed if the funeral clashes with some sort of appointment he's got at work. He's a very busy man.
Yeah, that was, I mean, how old? So, Royfield, I mean, like, it's not too self-indulgent because Royfield mentioned it earlier on, but my son is 14, 15 months any minute now. And, you know, and I think he's pretty advanced. Other people say he's pretty advanced. But just to tell you where a 15-month-old should be, it should be probably have a vocabulary of 5, toddling around, and, you know, hopefully its ability to kill itself is limited to, you know, maybe 1.5 minutes. You know, if you're lucky. So Xander is incredibly precocious. If he's now this kind of little ray of sunshine in the chair, he's got sensory tunnels, or Ian's absolutely mental.
He was born in April last year, so that's probably about the same age as your son. Is
I'm
it
a terrible
is
father,
that about
then.
The same?
There's no sensory tunnels here, not one.
Well, I think you pair have just about done that to death. So well done. No. Well, you said you were going to go off on Adam and his lack of parenting, and my God, your spleen has been vented, sir. So
did we mention him chastising the child for the jelly on the floor? I know.
Oh gosh, there's more to come. Okay, all right. I'll just step back. Yeah. Go on.
Try to keep it in the bowls, and the jelly doesn't belong on the floor.
Royfield,
no,
do you think you can do better?
To 1 year old like that.
Do you think you can do a better Adam impersonation than that? Well, I'm going to give you a solid 4 out of 10. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be critical.
Yeah. I'll practice more.
No, I don't. No, I think that was a very spot on, Adam. So, moving on. All right. So, Sarah, thank you for that. I think you got your money's worth out of us. Tarara, a bit love. Now it's Claire.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. Just wanted to reflect a bit about Alice and Chris in the last week. Firstly, Alice, oh my goodness me, I do not like her at all. She's whiny and entitled and just, yeah, pretty obnoxious. I do believe that she's having some issues at work, and I'm willing to believe that she's not treated very well there. But I don't think she helps herself very much. I don't understand why Chris is still so kind of gooey-eyed. They've been married 10 years, and yet he still seems kind of blindly infatuated with the marvellousness that is Alice, which I'm not sure anyone else sees. I mean, I guess there's someone for everyone. And I was interested in how she couldn't convince anyone to pick cherries, and yet Brian went off and schmoozed them into it. Brian is also irritating and entitled, and yet somehow he manages to get round people and convince them to do things. And I wonder whether that's just different personalities or just, I don't know, it's just an alpha male thing. God knows. Yeah, the Aldridges have not endeared themselves to me this last week, and I'm not even going to start on Adam. I really feel sorry for Chris, and I feel sorry for Ian, even being part of the family. Bless them. And I hope we'll get to spend time with some other people soon and get away from the Aldridges, because I've had quite enough this week. Anyway, keep up the good work, all, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Yes, Claire, well done. I too feel sorry for Chris and Ian, really being part of all of that. I think Brian, he did schmooze and persuaded people, because he actually spoke to them, didn't he, to persuade them to do the cherry picking, whereas Adam and Alice pretty much, didn't they just text people, or they don't have the charm, do they?
Brian does have a track record of eventually doing the right thing in most situations, like, you know, with Ian and Adam's wedding, with, you know, with Will, dealing with Will's situation. He in a crisis, Brian's quite good. I'm, you know, Alice either doesn't have that track record or just doesn't have the potential, or people don't suspect she does.
Moving back, and I think that's an astute observation, Peter, about Brian always eventually doing the right thing. Key point for me was Claire's observation that Chris is still totally enthralled to his missus. And I wonder if this isn't a little bit of social, oh my God, I can't believe I've bagged an Aldridge-itis, that we always think that it's Susan who is like, you know, I've married into the Aldridges, you know, through my son, etc., and can't believe that she gets invited round there to hang out with Brian and Jennifer. And I wonder if Chris isn't suitably of that kind of ilk as well, really, but we've not really noticed, because you don't really have too much of Chris Carter on mic, do you? And as Claire says, you know, they've been together for a long time now, and he's very obviously doughy-eyed and in love, but like, and never at all critical of his spouse or takes her to task about anything.
Yeah, you're right. And you're also right that that's partly maybe we haven't heard enough from him, have we, over the years, really, to hear him doing that. But, you know, he's definitely completely still loved up, and, you know, very, very keen to please her. You know, he's sort of, you know, what can I do to cheer her up? When she jacked her job in, he was like, I'll go to the Bull and buy a bottle of bubbly to celebrate her having jacked her job in, but feeling happy. You know, he was waxing lyrical about her looking more happy than she has for so long. Well, yeah.
Isn't he just recreating the home that he grew up in, where the sort of the pudding father gets kind of kicked around by the sort of slightly entitled and needy wife?
No, stop it. No, you know what? You know, maybe Peter.
It could be.
You know what? Yeah, the more I think about it, crumbs.
You know, Neil is a pleaser.
God, do we all turn into our parents then?
Have you not? I mean, I really have. It's to a quite terrifying degree. I mean, I know it's a cliche, I'm not going to go into it, but yeah, it's very, very depressing. I got a glimpse into Royfield's home life, just a very, I really like Royfield's mum. Just the 30 seconds I heard in the background, she was telling him off, and it was absolutely fantastic. But it was just a few seconds, but I really enjoyed it.
You need to let go of that, Peter. You need to let go of that, mate.
Or you need to give me more, so I have a more nuanced and complete perspective.
Go watch her on YouTube, Peter.
I tell you what, I'm going to give you a bit of Elsa right now. Let's move on.
Hi, Royfield, Kerry, and everybody, Shay Dum-da-dum. It's Elsa here from Newbury. First of all, from this week's episode, I wanted to say how great it was to hear from Tamsin Grieg. It's really obvious that she is like a top-level actress. She's really, really brilliant. And not that the other actors aren't great, but there's a reason why she is as famous as she is. I haven't been listening for very long, so it was nice to find out a bit more about Debbie, and maybe she'll be coming back, who knows. We've also heard from Adam this week. Oh my god, is he boring. Also, why doesn't he do any parenting? Xander's, what, nearly one? Is this really the first time that they've spent a whole day together? That seems completely terrible. Which brings me on to my care package for the week. This week I'm going to send the lovely, lovely Ian a spa voucher, but a really nice one for one of those spas in, like, fancy one with fancy soap in the showers. We have one near us called Thames Lido, and it's really gorgeous. It's like got an outdoor pool and hot tubs, and you can have a massage. You can definitely get a massage, and then you can get tapas afterwards. So definitely that's what I'm getting Ian this week, because he is basically a single parent. Dealing with everything on his own, and he needs a bit of love. So that's me for the week. I hope you're all doing well. What are you going to send to somebody this week in your care packages? Nice to hear from you. Bye.
Thanks, Elsa. That was good. I like, you know, I mean, if Adam's going, Ian really deserved that shower, then a spa package and tapas will blow his mind.
6 out of 10 now. You're up. You're up 2 points, Kerry. Yeah. That you lent into it a lot better that time, yeah.
But yeah, she's right about, you know, Adam's real self-congratulatory sort of, that was the, I can't keep talking like him, but, you know, about it being the best day because he spent some time with his son. Has he never done that before, honestly?
And it's just, I mean, he surely would have burnt out by now if he was this busy week in, week out for the number of years I've been listening. I mean, he'd be a husk of a man. How would he have time? I mean, and it's implausible for him to have all these affairs, row with Brian and do the work and be on the quad bike and be, you know, writing letters for Alice. It's just.
And let's remember, Brian did all of that and wasn't as annoyingly moany and tired, was he? I don't remember that. You know, he managed the affairs and the farm. And he did not sound like Adam.
Was that Elsa? I can't remember. I've just been just
in. Yes, that was Elsa.
All right, I've just been enjoying you pair just going at
it. And she's right about Tamsin Grieg being a discernibly top level actress, isn't she? It was lovely to hear her again.
Mm. She always does bring a little something when she's on the mic.
I didn't know that she did Debbie's voice for a shamefully long time, whilst also being a fairly, you know. I loved her on Green Wing and various other things. Yes. And when I finally saw that she was Debbie, I was like, oh, yes, that makes sense. It kind of all, you know, totally. It's just, of course.
Green Wing's wonderful, isn't it?
I'll have to take your word for it. Never watched it. Anyway, now it's Jane Gage.
Hi, my name is Jane Gage and I'm calling from West London. I'm a first-time caller-innerer and I started listening to The Archers around Christmas 2010, just before Nigel's demise and Henry's birth. So I think I'm a Henry. During lockdown, I have started listening to the omnibuses from 2009 and 2010, which is an excellent vintage. There was a lot of deaths in Ambridge that year. Phil Archer and Sid Perks. Brenda and Tom's relationship also looks pretty terminal. Pippi's with the dreaded Jude, and Lillian is still stringing Matt's brother along after a mild flirtation while Matt was inside. Alice and Chris are dating, and I think they're just planning their trip to the States and their spur-of-the-moment wedding. As usual, Jenny is exasperated and Brian facilitating. So, following this week's monologue, I can conclude Alice has not matured in any way, still spoiled, entitled, headstrong, and making unwise decisions, leaving Chris trailing in her wake. Good luck with the baby conversation is all I can say. Thank you, Royfield and gang, for keeping us all going through the difficult times of lockdown. And I hope I will be calling in again soon.
Wow, Jane, thanks for ringing in. And yeah, I hope you call in again as well. But that was a trip down memory lane, wasn't it?
I feel sad now.
Yeah.
That was my absolute favourite time. I loved that bit. I loved that time. That's maybe the most sympathetic I've been with David over the years, was when he was having to deal with Jude. He was trying to push down his absolute detestation of Jude, which I shared, in order to be a sensitive and good father.
Yeah. I might give those a listen again myself, actually.
How far back does the archive go? Because it would need to go back a long way for me to sort of get any use out of it.
How have you managed to listen to those?
There's a website. There's a website which is not a BBC affiliated one, where somebody has basically put up old episodes. And I think that's as far back as it goes, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, this isn't the Beeb at all.
So I can't listen to a young Peggy Woolley getting sort of on the lash on them snake bite behind the bull.
No, you can't. The Beeb don't even have those. Back in the 50s and the 60s to mid 70s, they didn't realise there was ever going to be value in repeat episodes. And because they were always cost conscious, they just went over old tapes. So I was many moons ago invited along to the BBC archive where the Archers episodes are actually held. And they were going back then and still discovering old episodes because things have been mislabeled and whatever. And I held a vinyl recording of a 1952 episode of The Archer, which I think is the oldest one that they have on record, but it's really spotty up until at least the mid 70s. And they actually went out and asked on social media for listeners who have episodes of The Archers to alert them as to what episodes they were. And then, you know, they would then digitize them because they know that what a lot of people did, expats back then, was to record them on cassette and then send them off to, you know, your cousin or your aunt or whoever who was abroad type of thing, so they could listen to it. So there's a real effort to try and get back as many episodes as possible. But no, they've been lost into the ether, a lot of them.
That would be the opposite of a care package at the moment, wouldn't it? A real way of telling someone you don't like them.
What, sending them these past weeks?
Yeah, I'm fully converted.
And Jane, bless her, she's saying about Alice hasn't actually changed that much. And,
and I think Alice and Chris Carter, they're the least heard of couple in the village by far, aren't they? You can go easily 6 months without hearing from either of them, and Chris even less, you know. Yeah. So in terms of any kind of real character development, we don't get it, do we, with them pair? We don't understand how the relationship has developed. We don't understand how them as individuals have developed. And I'd go so far as to say that Chris Carter has had no character development at all. But and if he has, it's only through the prism of him, in effect, being blind to his wife's struggles with alcohol and him enabling her worst impulses.
He's been a glorified extra. He's been, there was some stuff around the bell ringing. He's useful for the odd episode about cricket. When Columbo, sorry, I can't remember his real name, Harrison, was having his kind of stag do, and there was the hubbub about his stripping days, then he kind of had a little trip out then. But he's never the centre of it, always just a kind of peripheral figure to sort of help Polly fill the gaps.
And he was the mechanism to bring Jacob in, because remember, he was Jacob's pal. He knew Jacob because he was he's a great horse vet. But Chris Carter does absolutely naff all, and there is much more to discover in their relationship because he's so blind to his wife's obvious faults and obvious cries for help. There is something going on with Alice and he can't see it at all. So there is something there.
I think we all kind of know who the hot people are and who the sort of not so hot people are. I think, Fallon's definitely hot. Elizabeth's definitely hot. Jolene's former glories were kind of like sort of teased and sort of like made fun of when she was trying to, rejuvenate her career and pouring herself into some slightly ill-fitting dresses and stuff. But I mean, maybe they just need to come out with it and sort of like make some very overt a statement about the fact that he's pulling above his weight, you know, that she's physically this kind of radiant and glorious creature, even if a little annoying and shallow.
But I thought Chris Carter was meant to be hot, wasn't he? The hot.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the hot.
Not as in hot blacksmith, as in next to the fire, but he's meant to be hot, isn't he?
Yeah, he's supposed to be. At least in the mind's eye of the Archer's listeners. It's hunky Chris Carter, isn't it? And he did the whole thing.
Is it because the blacksmith would be topless and clanging huge bits of metal? And
I think there's a bit of that. And then there's the whole thing where he did the passion play, didn't he? Wasn't he like Jesus and had the cross and he was all naked from the waist
Chris.
Up?
Yeah.
And when you say Chris,
I say cross.
No, it's
that's
one hell of a callback.
Listen, you know what? Andrew Horn is going to make us jump.
Greetings, Earthlings. Andrew Horn here. Well, that was a better week, wasn't it? Nice to have the Aldridges and some decent storylines and a feeling that we're moving forward. And that really just backs up my previous point, that the issue with the monologues is not so much that there's the lack of dialogue, it's the lack of storyline or the stupidity of the storylines. And when they're played out over a longer scene time, you get longer to wind yourself up and shout. So the Lillian's velour tracksuits and Susan on the radio, I'm sorry, you won't convince me that's a good idea, is shouting at the radio time, whereas the Aldridges, lots going on, new storylines, Alice's drink coming to the fore again, Chris still in denial, so that's got a way to go. Lovely to have a bit of Debbie. And Brian, of course. So bring it on. Speak to you all soon. Bye.
Oh, lovely, lovely Andrew Horn. Yeah, there is way more going on with the Aldridges, really, isn't there? He is right.
They are by far the most interesting family in the whole village.
Yeah.
Jennifer having different fathers for the kids, and then the relationships that Adam and Debbie have with their fathers, the fact that it's Adam Macy, he's taken his stepfather's surname, but then Debbie has taken her stepfather's name, even though she's a Macy. There's a whole load of things going on there. And then that's before you get down to Alice and her sister, who's the great yoga tree loving person that she is and stuff, you know. And it's just, the Aldridges are by far the most interesting, fascinating, dysfunctional, and in a way, loving family of the whole village. Anyway, Rob Williams, not the Rob Williams, is up next.
Good morning, everyone in Dum-de-Dum land. Rob Williams here. No, not that one. I'm just phoning because I'm a bit concerned about Alice. Seems to me like she's strained desperately into sitcom territory, and I'm worried that she's going to be replaced by Patsy Stone. I mean, really, does anybody get that desperate for a delivery of wine? Okie dokie. Take care, everyone. See you soon. Bye now.
Oh, Rob, that was short and sweet, wasn't it? Does anyone get that desperate for a delivery of wine?
Is this the bit where she went, "Oh, my wine," or something, just really made
And she said something like, "Oh, great, it's out with the courier." And I thought, well, how else are they going to get it to you?
I saw what they, I mean, obviously they were trying to write the desperation, but, you know, even, I mean, it was, she'd obviously been monitoring it since 8 a.m. That was kind of referenced. Even the most diehard alcoholic could probably make do with a bit of old fashioned mouthwash and some kind of, I don't know, hand sanitizer while they were waiting for delivery.
Yeah, he's worried about our Alice. Where will it end?
I think it'd be more interesting if they actually tried to talk about kind of modern day sort of middle class alcoholism, which has kind of been vaguely present in the news, how there's plenty of people who are kind of sleepwalking into a kind of functioning alcoholism. There aren't any bottles hidden in the cistern. They still get stuff done. And it's only, you know, it'll be disappointing if they actually have her sort of really hitting the bottle and becoming the kind of cliche drunk of the kind of 80s sort of, you know, well, yes, sitcom.
There was mention of Baby, wasn't there, by Chris, sort of saying, oh, maybe this time next year you know, because he was making that tree thing for someone else's babies. Yeah, Birch, that's right. So he then was saying, oh, maybe this time next year that'll be me and Alice. So I don't know if it's going to be linked to them trying for a baby. I mean, will she want to do that?
I mean, you know, booze, if there was no booze, Britain's population would probably be about, I don't know, a third of what it is. So, I mean, maybe this is it's the elixir of love. It's going to keep things moving. Accidental pregnancy. I don't know where it's going, but I do hope they don't go too big on it. It'll be a more interesting plot line if they deal with the kind of the subtle fringes of alcoholism rather than going for something sort of really big and kind of cliched.
I mean, it's been brewing for a while. That's really terrible, isn't it, as puns go, but it has, hasn't it?
You are right though, Peter and Kerry. The whole Alice and her drinking is at least 3 years in the gestation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is, which goes again, just to underline my point, that we go absolute months without hearing from Alice. You know, they're obviously setting us up for a big, massive storyline. So what I thought they were setting us up for a couple of years back was her being a functioning alcoholic, that, you know, she was going out to work, but obviously was drinking loads. And there was something about her drinking at lunchtime at work. And we are 3 years later down the line. And fundamentally, the storyline has not progressed at all. You know, her husband still doesn't know that she's drinking loads, et cetera, et cetera. So on one hand, they're playing this out very believably in real time. So you can applaud them from that perspective. But from a dramatic art perspective, we're like, yes, we know she's got a problem with drink.
You are right. They've done exactly what I've requested, but I just haven't had the intellect to notice it. They have sort of played it very slowly and very subtly. The big problem for me with Alice and Chris is I just don't particularly care about them. So when a plot line like this revs up, if it's Lillian or Linda or, you know, or I'd love a fun, positive Jim and Jazza plot line. Now, Jazza's love life, that would be my absolute dream. You know, I start to lick my lips and get excited, but as I feel this plot line sort of coming, you know, coming back to the fore with Alice, it just fills my heart with dread. I'm not sure I've got it in me to particularly care what happens to her, but that may be Royfield is because they haven't invested in them. They've been these very two-dimensional peripheral characters for such a long time.
Yeah, completely agree.
I kind of agree with what you just said, but I don't believe that Alice is 2D. She's peripheral, absolutely is peripheral, but I don't believe she's 2D because you do see the sibling rivalry with her and Kate. You know, that's been played out quite a few times. And then also we do know that she doesn't want to be a mother, at least anytime soon, etc. So there is a little bit to the character of Alice, but she's totally peripheral. Girl as well. Remember, there's the whole thing where when they had to move out of Home Farm and she completely sided with Brian.
That was funny. When she was doing the cherry picking, Brian was sort of saying, oh, look at her, she's such a great worker. And he thought, oh, that's ironic, considering she's just given her job up. You know, so yeah, he's got rose-tinted spectacles there.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get a kicking when he was doing his little kind of family roll call to Xander at the beginning of the week.
Whereas Adam did.
Rob Williams, thank you for your call, sir. Now, we only have three more calls.
Hello, you two, or three. This is Stephen calling from the darkest West Country. I'm a first-time caller in RAL, although I've been on a couple of the Zoom calls. I'm in my 50s and have been listening to The Archers about as long as I can remember. My first specific memory would be from the late 1960s, when I asked my mother, who's that man with a strange accent? So, whatever the rules might say, I consider myself to be a Jack Woolley. Anyway, my reason for calling in is to say that it looks as if the writers, or at least Kerry D, have finally worked out what to do with this new format. Instead of trying to write a poor imitation of Alan Bennett's Talking Heads, they're finally writing a poor imitation of The Archers. And even if we can't have plot, The Archers does have something else to commend it. It's history. So it was great that the precious scenes with Debbie allowed us to explore Jenny Darling's complex relationships in the days before Brian showed up. And even Eeyore did some reminiscing in between worrying whether Tracy would unintentionally pop some cherries. So I just hope that we can have a bit more Archers history in the weeks ahead and certainly a lot less of Susan and her criminal record selections.
Stephen, that was good. Thanks for ringing in. Eeyore for Adam. See, Neil sometimes gets called Eeyore, doesn't he? There's a few Eeyores, really. yeah, he's right. You know, the history bit, you know, the Aldridges did tick that box this week.
So this dates me. I don't remember Roger in the 90s, or I might have been on one of my hiatuses when he was there. So I will admit I had to do a bit of kind of scrambling around to do a bit of research about Roger just to remind myself exactly, you know, how he came into the show. It is nice every now and again to have that kind of that framing of everything and remind yourself of the kind of broader structure.
What did you discover about Roger? Because I can't honestly remember him being in it. So, you know, having listened for 40 odd years, there are patches where I didn't listen much.
I think it was a brief glance on my phone, but but basically, what I remember was that he came back to the village in the early 90s, and that
doesn't he have a brief affair with Jennifer?
He had to have, didn't he?
No, but he comes back and he has one. So when we think of Brian and Jennifer, right, it's always that Brian's had affairs, but Jennifer had one, and I think it's with him. But this is with Cosmo. We need you to rescue us here.
Yeah, she's definitely dallied, hasn't she? More than once.
And I think it's with him. I think it was somebody from her past. I'm almost positive it was with him.
What is it that we call an affair now? That Jada Pinkett Smith, was it an entanglement? So the various Aldridge entanglements over the years.
Mm.
Is that, what's that other thing? Is it conscious uncoupling?
Okay, that was Gwyneth Paltrow, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey. She's got a lot to answer for.
Perry, come on. Oh, I already had Adam and Alice knocking around in my head. Now I've got Gwyneth Paltrow in there as well. So.
With her bloody candles.
Yeah. And her egg
smell. Yeah. They smell lovely, they do. Witherspoon, come rescue us, please, sir.
Greetings, everyone in Dumpty Dum Towers and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. First off, I must take Royfield to task. My old pal, 2 weeks ago, you referred to me as a psychologist. How long have I been collar-entering to Dumpty Dum? I am a psychiatrist. Training includes 4 years of university, 4 years of medical school, 4 years of residency in general psychiatry, and a 2-year fellowship in child and adolescent psychiatry. The other wonderful mental health professionals who contribute to the podcast have their own distinct educational backgrounds and credentials. Royfield, I do agree with you that the monologue shows feel like they're much longer than 13 minutes, but I definitely agree with Anne Carey, and I've said this before, that the monologues have been missing references to how people are emotionally coping with the lockdown. This week, the giant pandemic roulette wheel stopped on Home Farm and the Aldridges. Frankly, and I'm sure most will agree, it was the best 4 days of the bunch so far. It was great to take a deeper dive into the family with the most complicated genealogic tree and the most dysfunction in the village. I know everyone likes to crap on Adam, but we got a bit of an understanding of the origins of his difficulties expressing love. There's lots to analyze there, but in brief, he's a guy who didn't know who his biological father was and whose shorter-term father figure and longer-term father figure had great difficulty telling him that he was loved. Brian even admitted it. This is worth years of treatment on my couch. And I've said before, the reason we don't feel a connection between Adam and Ian is that the scriptwriters do not know how to write for the one gay couple in the village. Shame, shame, shame. I know my fellow LGBT listener-inners have agreed with me on this in the past. Talk to you soon.
Ooh, with a spoon.
Can I just say now, I do it deliberately now. First of all, because I know it winds him up.
So psychologist, psychiatrist,
psychotherapist,
call him a cyclist next time.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
I like how he called me Aunt Kerry. Is it because it's Uncle Kerry, the other
Kerry D? Yes, well done, well done.
Best 4 days of the monologues.
No, I did think it was fascinating to get a trained aromatherapist's opinion on Adam Mayfield's background. Yeah, I did. Although I did have some sympathy for Adam, but I'm just too blinded by my dislike of him. So that professional reserve, obviously, or distance, comes in quite useful. And I think I accidentally misspoke about Adam and Ian a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, I think I referred to the fact they do come across as completely asexual. And it's interesting that that they don't seem plausible. If you are LGBTQ, you know, that they just don't ring as true. Because me, a cis white man, I they never seem plausible to me either.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as a pairing, full stop, they don't seem right. That it doesn't fit. It's not. So yeah, I totally agree with you. For Witherspoon to say that he and other LGBTQ people have said doesn't really sound right.
I've said it 1,000 times over, and I just put it down to as simple as chemistry. And I think there's two elements to it. Obviously, there's the writing or the lack of the writing, which I presume that it's what Witherspoon's referring to here. And also there's a lack of on-air chemistry. Susan and Neil, you get it. You know, Robert and Linda, you get it. Brian and Jenny, you get it. You know, with these pair, there's just nothing there. There's just nothing there at all. And I think it's a combination of the writing and just that lack of a frisson between the two actors. You know, you just don't believe it. And it's interesting going back and listening to old episodes with Nigel and Elizabeth. And you completely believed that them pair were potty in love.
Yeah.
You know, there was enough backwards and forwards with her at times scolding him and whatever, and him, you know, wanting to make up to Lizzie and stuff, and with his harebrained schemes, etc. There isn't just that.
The same with Brian and Jennifer. Yeah. I just totally believe they're together.
Like, exactly. Totally,
no matter what the bumps along the journey have been.
Exactly.
Oh, it's a journey. Oh,
but do you think some of it's the petty exasperations? Like you actually.
No, exactly. 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 And that's what I was alluding to with Elizabeth with and Nigel. You know, because Nigel was always had his little harebrained schemes, and Lizzie kind of did clean up, you know, afterwards. Yeah.
Or is it just that Adam doesn't? It's all Adam's fault.
Overthinking
it. Actually, if it was a different, I don't know.
Kerry,
maybe not.
He's
Peter.
Yeah,
Kerry.
He's
Peter
such a
Kerry.
Boy.
Kerry Peter.
We need to
Peter
shut Kerry. Up, don't we?
Yes. Right. Philippa is our last caller.
Hello, everyone. Philippa here. It's been quite a while since I last called in. I was the one who launched the Josh isn't as bad as you think he is party, to which I haven't received many applications yet. Shame. As Mia said last week, many thanks to Roy Phil for the Friday Zooms. They've been such fun and have shown me what a community, a family, Dum-de-Dum is. I was going to say that I will miss them, but it does sound like something might already be brewing to replace them, which is brilliant. I just wanted to add my thoughts on the current monologue soliloquy offering, whether it is improving or not, whether Alice has got yet another wine order on the way, that poor delivery man. I think we have to endure them as a badge of honour of being true Archers fans through thick and thin. We just have to get through them as quickly as possible. I wonder if it's a bit like when your child decides to take up a new instrument and initially you're pleased they're doing something, but then you have to sit through practices and performances that are pretty excruciating and require a great deal of raised eyebrows as they try to work out which note is which. Something painful, but in future years, we could hopefully look back and reflect that at least new episodes aren't as bad as they were during lockdown. Hey ho. Take care, everyone.
Tatty bye.
Yes, Philippa. It is like listening to a child with a recorder. You're right.
I am slightly upset that Philippa didn't notice that I was a very early member of, if not the original member of the Josh fan club. I think that might be my first ever comment on Dum-de-Dum, that you two are sticking your boot in to Josh and Ben, and I sort of meekly stuck my head above the parapet and dared the dared the fire from across the trenches. That's a very laboured metaphor, but anyway, I was there right from the beginning. So, Philippa, if you want to set up a website, some kind of Zoom call, I'm here and ready.
Talking about Zoom calls, Sonny Ormond, who plays Lillian Bellamy, will be joining us on a Friday Zoom on July the 24th. So get your gin ready, folks. Friday the 24th of June at 7 p.m. It's going to be a right royal Dum-de-dum does Zoom with our Sonny.
Is there a Lillian drinking game?
I think there is, right? And it's going to be on, because there is a Lillian Bellamy Appreciation Society on Facebook. If it's going to be anywhere online, it's going to be there. So you heard it here first. So actually, that's a very good point, Peter. I'm going to find the drinking game rules and won't be tired anybody who turns up to Zoom without a big bottle of gin in front of them and a big bloody glass. And
singular,
we're all going to get...
Singular bottle.
And we'll all get slightly slozzled with our Sonny, who plays Lillian. So apart from that, what else did Philippa say in her call, Kerry? You need to update me, because
she
I'm
said,
about
you know, we need to endure these as a badge of honor is what she said. She's also, you know, she's glad of the replacement that's looming to the Zooms.
Ooh, well, it's an experiment. As Quentin said at the top of the show, we're going to give it a one-off outing, see how it goes, and then we need to then sit back and think. If it goes well, then we need to sit back and think, because what we don't want to do is kill ourselves with all these dum-de-dums. But there is definitely a demand for Zooms. That's been evident. And they can't always involve the actors, because otherwise we'll go through the cast very, very, very quickly. So it's just trying to think of how we can still foster this Zoom community, but without having, you know, key actors from the show actually on it. So that's the question. Anybody's got any suggestions, back of a postcard, send it in to Dum-de-dum Towers. And any suggestions gratefully received. Kerry, do we have any emails?
Do you know, we do. We have three.
That's a surprise.
Yes, we do. And each of these missives have been sent in by women whose names begin with J. So I don't know what's going on there. But...
My mum has written in.
There's my mum. My mum's Joyce.
There's going to be a lot of tears then. Me and Royfield might have to form a self-help group afterwards.
So the first one is from Julie Harvey. She's a regular writer in Ira. This is an interesting one. She says, hello, all at DTD. Dum-de-dum. Well, what a bunch of old curmudgeons this week. For the very first time ever in 4 years of listening to Dum-de-dum, I skipped through parts of this week's episode because I was so tired of all the moaning and the same old complaints from hosts and caller in Iras. We have categorically been told that the current monologue episodes are placeholders and that the production team has difficulty with technicalities. So what do people expect? I think we're all just a bit spoiled. If we don't like the style of the current monologue episodes and are feeling bored, I have a suggestion. Go and look up your favourite, The Archer's Archives, and listen to those, and then talk about them. Maybe Royfield could suggest this or some other creative idea. I don't think anything much is going to change, at least for July, with the current format. So please, rather than keep complaining about what we're getting, do something creative and different. Then even if the monologues are not fun, Dum-de-dum still can be. Rant over. Julie in Biddeford-on-Avon, heading back to Brighton. Now, what interested me about this, Julie, was that you're moaning about us moaning about characters who are moaning. So unravel that.
I think it's also very, there's only so many times you can say, well, that's nice. It's quite, and And whilst the plot has stalled a little bit, and I'm not saying this in a defensive way, because I mean, I'm happy to take criticism on the chin, but it's very, very difficult to fill an hour and a half just saying, well, that's brilliant, that's good, that's amazing, unless there is some substantial and kind of chunky plot to get your teeth around.
Yeah, and, you know, let's think of something that was amazing and great.
Oh, stop it. Now, is there another
email? I meant that properly. No, I did. I wasn't being sarcastic.
Well, in the last week, I can do that. I can do that over the last 5 weeks. What I can't do is over the last week. This last week's actually, because I think that email was trailed to me as something that was incoming, that was a sense that we'd all been a bit too negative, and I did have a good old think about it. I didn't just sort of dismiss it, you know, out of hand. But I think that we have tried to say some nice stuff about it. It's just personal. I can only speak for myself, but it has felt quite difficult to sort of to paste a smile onto my face.
I mean, I have really enjoyed Debbie coming back.
I woke up, I turned on Twitter on Sunday and it was full of you, sort of full of the joys of spring. It was a Debbie all caps with exclamation marks afterwards, I think, that was one tweet. Just you know, nothing more to say, as if that was the whole, you know, that said everything.
And also, I do think, you know, there's a bit of this on Twitter as well about, you know, if you've got nothing to say, then don't say anything at all. Well, no, I'm not going to blindly just sort of take it all and sort of pretend everything's great either.
So. I think there's also, there's a fundamental disconnect for me. I've never listened to the Archers in any way to try and cheer myself up. It's a miracle I don't have any feeling after listening to the Archers all these years, just chunks of enamel, you know, pinging off the walls as my teeth sort of creak and strain under the pressure. It's always been a stressful listen for me. So, I mean, I get that. I get there's other constituencies out there, and I'm sorry if I'm not, you know, representing them. But I that's not why I listen.
Yeah, me too.
Goodness, right? I listen because I quite enjoy it, and it makes me feel comfortable, and it gives me a real sense of place. And maybe it says a little bit too much about me, but I am glasses half full all the time, and I am a bit like, you know, sunny uplands. But then also, because I travel so much, this anchors me. It's not the only thing that anchors me and makes me feel like there is a constant in my life. There are many other things, but this is one of them. You know, whether I'm in Toronto, whether I'm in San Francisco or in Brum or seeing a mate in London or whatever, the fact that, take the COVIDs out of it or the coronas, that this thing comes on 6 days a week is one of the constants. And it's like part of the wallpaper to my life, you know.
Have you ever had a chat with Witherspoon?
I've had plenty, actually.
I know, I'm being silly.
You pair are just like properly ganging up on me in this whole episode. We started off on a bad foot with the cod Brummy accents.
Very good Brummy accents. They were very, very good Brummy accents, and I think you should have been flattered. I mean, for me, the reason I listened to the Archers is it was a constant soundtrack in our little house in, you know, west of London, in, you know, the West Country. That, you know, it was Terry Wogan and the Archers. That's what my mum used to turn on, and that's why I listened to it. I think it's something to connect me with my mum at a very kind of like basic level. So I do, you know, I do have a lot of affection for it. And there are definitely, like, as I said earlier, I'd love Jazz's love life to, you know, there are characters I truly feel connected to, and when they suffer, I suffer. You know, when Hannah was mean to Jazza, that really sort of, you know, kicked me, you know, downstairs. But the idea that you could listen, I think also it would be almost being doing a disservice to just sort of try and fake some kind of positivity that you're not feeling. I mean, the first week I was on Dumpty Dum, I really had enjoyed it, and you two were giving me a bit of a gentle ribbing for it. But this week I haven't. So maybe next week, not necessarily as a reaction to the email, I'll be back again full of the joys of spring. And it'll be Royfield who'll be all piss and vinegar and, you know, miserable. Because who could upset you, Royfield? Who could knock you off your little kind of optimistic path?
Which character in the Archers?
Mm. Yeah, what would be a plot line or a character that would kind of like have you in the doldrums?
Well, anything really that turns up the wick on Adam and Ian is not going to go down well with me. I will freely admit, because for a whole load of reasons, of which half of them we've gone over in this episode. Yeah. But fundamentally, I like the Archers and I like most of the characters. Well, like is maybe slightly too strong a word, but I love when I hear Robert Snell. I love when I hear Jennifer and Brian. You know, there's some people you just go, yes. You know,
I do like Brian. Like, oh, that's not a very good person. Yeah. I love a frustrated O'Brien. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Kerry thinks I'm sort of rather down at heel and kind of proletarian for my love of a Lillian cackle. But that is a moment of pure joy.
You're not the only one there. You're not the only one there.
Right, yeah. So our next text or email is from... Who's this from? Blah, 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 blah. Sorry, I've lost it completely. Jenny from Southampton. That's it. She always puts her name right in the middle. So this says, "Hi, Royfield, esteemed Kerry co-host Peter and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Jenny from Southampton. Just one thing this week," she says. "Adam rhapsodising that Ian really deserves that shower." What? Is that seriously his idea of a reward? Beginning to understand why Ian has turned into such a miserable bore. Stay safe, everyone.
Mm-hmm. It could be an amazing shower. One of those ones with horizontal jets of water. Maybe he's like thigh deep in a jacuzzi. It's kind of just this, there's, you know, parakeets, call back to last week, swooping through sort of like clouded mists, you know. Who knows? Best thing in the world, a shower at Ian and Adam's house.
Yeah, like nothing you've ever experienced. The last one is from Jennifer Corley. And this, I love this because it's a big shout out to Goddess Diva, who's a long, long, long time Archers fan. She has just got her first in her BA. So bless her. The Archers community are thrilled.
Oh, well done, Goddess Diva.
Yeah.
Well done, D. And just before we start to wind this down, I have to say hello and thanks to Emma Woodhouse and to Beth Purnell, who have sent in caller inera calls, and we just haven't had the time to actually play them. I've only just noticed now, I've gone on to SpeakPipe, did a refresh, and there's two fresh calls. You will be on next week's episode, so don't worry. We won't forget you. But now it's time for us to take five, have a pause, go... Have a comfort break if you need one. Go do that. We'll come back the other side. It'll be Yokel Bear manning the helm.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Yoko Bear here calling with the social media roundup for the week. Let's talk about Debbie, because she said something, just a throwaway line of, it's time to move on. Is she coming home? Is she coming to Ambridge? What a day that would be. So let's see what people said. Brian Holding said, I love her. I'd love her too, but I think Debbie would be too expensive these days. Possibly, yeah. But a lot of people like Wayne Mathias said she's going to look after Roger. And I think that's probably a smart call. I mean, the whole thing about kind of, you know, Debbie and Roger, I quite enjoyed that episode, actually. Sandra Drenkinson said she's going to Scotland. And Nick Bacon also asked, and I don't know the answer to this, but I'm sure people out there would Debbie be allowed to remain in Hungary post-Brexit? Wouldn't she have to apply to, I don't know. I know there's kind of stuff going on with France because I saw that Twitter thread. If you have not seen it, go and find RS Archer on Twitter. And a story that may not be true about somebody called the idiot son. It's been quite a journey seeing those tweets come in. But anyway, I digress. Let's talk about Alice. Because I don't know about you, but I smell a sacking. I think the Alice doth protest too much about handing a notice in. Just a sense that I got. I could be wrong. Robin Cotty said, yes, well, the wine arrived before the meeting, so I think it's quite likely that she was drunk. And actually, a lot of people made a lot of the fact that that whole episode, I think, was foreshadowing in the fact that they made so much about the wine delivery. And she seemed so, you know, upset that the wine delivery hadn't come. Ali Oliver said, jump before she was pushed. And Ali's phone auto-corrected that to pissed. So it was jump before she was pissed. But Ali goes on to say, employer might be contacting all staff as they're considering redundancies. She's done them a favour, saved them a lot of paperwork and money. Bank of mum and dad will pay for her wine. And yeah, and no doubt we're going to see the Ambridge job fairy here soon, aren't we? She's going to appear, wave her magic wand, and Alice will get a job. Sean Brown, though, thought it was all just a little... He said, it's all a bit harsh. Just because Alice's rather dull working life features little in the shows doesn't mean that she doesn't work. Harrison Burns is really her doing any policeman. And that doesn't mean he's a crap police... Oh, wait, hold on. Yeah, Sean, I think you got harassment there. Jan Mitchell, she's got firm views. Jan said, yeah, she was sacked. I think the booze is going to take her down, unfortunately. And a lot of people said that actually they'd quite like this to come to the fore because the scriptwriters have been kind of toying around with this idea for a while, haven't they? So maybe when we're kind of back in normal episodes again, maybe the Alice thing is something that that will be looked at. The other thing we did this week, we did a check-in just to see how people were doing with the monologues. And it was interesting, because a lot of people said that they're getting better. Stephen Bowden said, I think they're getting better, apart from the ones with Susan as a DJ, obviously. It helps that they've stopped trying to be a poor imitation of Alan Bennett's Talking Heads and settled for being a poor imitation of the Archers. And I get exactly what you mean there, Stephen. And oh, by the way, if you haven't watched the new Alan Bennett Talking Heads, get to iPlayer. They're great. Steve Burge said, I listen to them as an omnibus, as I've always done with the Archers, and I definitely think they work better. I also listen on long dog walks, so no interruptions. Did you know what, Stephen? I hadn't thought of that. I've been listening to them each evening, and so maybe if I kind of did listen to the whole thing at once, maybe it might give a different perspective. Pat Ralph Hallivan said, for me, they've got a bit better overall. There are more characters per episode, which helps a bit. I don't like the inner musings alone. They ring false. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, because you can, that when you hear the sound difference between outer monologue and inner monologue, my heart sinks a little bit, because it was just like, oh God, where are we going now? So yeah, the inner monologues haven't worked as well for me. I did wonder, they can have an episode that's just phone calls, like two people. Surely that will be easy to do, get two of the actors to do a phone call each. Anyway, Jude Audrey said, I'm going to get shot down in flames. No, you won't. This is Dumpty Dum. We're an accepting lot. I haven't enjoyed the Susan or Tracy ones. Loving Debbie and Brian, also Freddie. Yeah, I didn't like the Freddy one so much. Taps, not my thing. Anyway, the last thing I'll say is before I go is you may have seen that we're going to make some changes to how we do things on Facebook. We're going to move from a page to a group, so people have been much easier for people to kind of post stuff and interact themselves. We're also looking for some people who might want to step up and help out with that, to be admins on the group, and also step in to do some social media roundups as well. There is a post on the Facebook page. Go and have a look at it. If you think it's something you're interested in, drop a message. Anyway, that's me done for the day. And next week you have the lovely Millie Bell. Goodbye.
Mr. Bear, we thank you for that. As always, you've done an awesome job going through the socials and recounting last week's Archer's action on the Book of Face. Now, Kerry Warbis, right, I've had my comfort break, so I don't think I'm going to pee me pants when you come out with your tweet of the week. My bladder is empty.
Well, I did have loads of tweets, but I've cut them down now to three because we've whittled on a lot. So this first one is from Nick, who is at Check Your Sheds on the Twitters. He says, that was enjoyable. Brian was smooth. Adam was boring. Debbie was brilliant. Alice was drunk. What more could you ask for? The next one is Andy Davidson, who is at Andy D. Make the Tea. He says, I'm not tweeting about Adam saying he's been down on Brian. No, I'm not. Not at all. Oops. Bit naughty. And the last one was Tweet of the Week, which is a slight interaction between Sweary Caps Locky Archers fan. She says, Adam voted for, actually it might be a he, don't know, judgy. Adam voted for Brexit because he's dependent on European workers for his harvests. So obviously he did. And then the comeback is from Nick at Check Your Sheds. To be fair, it's the only way he can stay faithful. So Adam voted Brexit to stay faithful, ladies and gentlemen.
Folks, We are going through somewhat of a transitional period at the moment, trying out new things. Go to dumdydum.com. There's stuff on there. There is all of our Friday Zooms. Oh, I keep on saying go on to dumdydum.com for the Friday Zooms. I'll tell you what you should do. Forgo the website for that. Go onto YouTube, type in dumdydum, and basically go and subscribe when you get to our channel. Please do that. We need to get to the magic number of 1,000, and we are almost there at 950 something. So even if you say to yourself, I ain't never interested in them, their Zoom sessions and all the stuff which Royfield does and throws up on YouTube, just go and subscribe anyway, because it makes us look good. So that's us on the YouTubes, but there is gold on there. There are some great insights from some of the actors who've come on and done the Friday Zooms. And then also, you can even do the Friday quizzes. You used to like them, didn't you, Kerry?
I do. They're brilliant. Yeah, I really, really highly recommend going on that YouTube.
And maybe one of the things which I could actually do is strip out some of the Friday quizzes and actually just put those up on YouTube anyway. So Archers fans can just have a good play with those. There's a thought. Anyway, I'm full of ideas, me. So that's YouTube. Go on there and support us. Also, there is the Flick app. So if you just want to talk to dumdydummers, and maybe you're a little bit intimidated by Twitter, as I am, because I can't spell for toffee, right? Get your smartphone out, go to the App Store, type in Flick app, download that, type in dumdydum, bish, bosh, bang. You get a whole app full of people talking about the Archers and dumdydum action. And I haven't said this for a little while, but big up to the Flick app posse. Obviously, dumdydum.com, you can go there, you can comment on past podcasts, and you can watch, you can listen, you can read. I should really think before I start talking. You can read Cosmo's podcast roundups, because they are an utter joy. And sometimes he actually refers to our podcast as well. So well done to you, Mr. Cosmo. Patreon is a great way in which you can support this podcast. There was a time when we've ever been hacked by Russian fiends and people in Azerbaijan who were taking the website down. And it was through the support of dumdydummers that I managed to pay the software guy to get the site back up. So there are unforeseen emergencies, and then there are foreseen things like, gosh, SpeakPipe is not free. This whole kit and caboodle does actually cost. So go on to patreon.com, give us $2 per episode, and it means that I can pay for stuff that keeps the whole dumdydum machine cogs a whirling and a turning. Is there anything in red? Because I'm not looking at the script, Kerry.
There is, my love. Yes. Remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105 to leave a message. Or send a text message starting with DUM to 077 862 00690.
And I've just got to quickly say, we don't say this enough, but the people at Vitel, they're just wonderful. And they've really been great supporters of dumdydum, literally from episode one. And they provide the text service and the telephone call. So thank you to everybody at Vitel. And if you've got any telephony needs in your business, go Google Vitel. That's V-I-T-T-E-L. And they'll help you out, because they've been helping out dumdydum for some 6 years now. You can find Yokel Bear at dumdydum on the Twitters. You can also find him at Yokel Bear. You can find Kerry Warbis, who's at
Kerry Warbis.
Peter Fickling is at
Pete Fickling.
And I can be found at Royfield, where occasionally I talk about the Archers, sometimes Formula One, a little bit of politics, all in a very garbled way, as if to think that English is not my mother tongue. Facebook, you can find us on Facebook, because we are also on Facebook. So if you like Facebook, why don't you type in dumdydum on Facebook? And that's just about us done. Now, I'm going to ask my two co-hosts if they have any Parthian shots, any parting shots, any great words of wisdom to sign off the episode with. How about you, Kerry Warbis?
Oh dear. No words of wisdom here, I'm afraid. As you will have noticed over the last, 3 hours?
Peter Fickling, can you rescue Kerry and rescue us all by giving the listeners a rousing send-off?
Well, if I am allowed back, I promise to be as positive as I possibly can. I'm going to try 100% positive next episode. And also, I think, been a good week. Not too bad, all things considered.
Smashing. Been a good week, all things considered.